My name is Maren Green. I walk the path of a sacred midwife, mother, and spiritual gangster. My role is a keeper of wisdom, of the ancient ways of being. I trust Source as my ultimate guide. There is nothing more radical than feeling and listening to your own soul. On this podcast, you'll hear about my real life as a mother to 10, a sacred birth worker, a priestess, and a creator of the new earth. I see my life purpose in my children, in leading the sovereign and radical birth community of Indie Birth, and in embodied learning and living. Join me in the remembering of who you really are. You are powerful. Good evening. I don't think I've ever done a podcast this late on the day, in the day, on Sunday, but alas, today is Deva's 7th birthday. It's also Easter, which we don't really do, but there is something just generally celebratory about today, of course, for our family. It's very nutty here at 6 o'clock on a Sunday. I'm not sure this podcast will actually make it out into the world because there could be any number of interruptions or noises that make this podcast unable to be published. So you won't know if it isn't, but you might hear some minor noises in between. We've got Ozzy barking currently and Deva's new harmonica, which I almost hope you can hear, but you probably can't. A harmonica seems to be a rite of passage in our family, as Amelia stated today. And she's not wrong. I think it's a fun instrument for a kid to have. And I think it outweighs the kazoo. I do not enjoy the kazoo, but the harmonica is somewhat pleasant. So Deva received a harmonica today, as well as a host of other gifts from all her siblings. And it has been a really, really beautiful day. I really can't believe she's 7. And that's so cliche. But what mom doesn't say that? I think there is part of me that definitely appreciates the 7 years. And it doesn't feel like yesterday that she was born in a lot of ways. But then, of course, there's just the number. And 7 is such a special number. Where was I reading the other day about 7? I don't recall. But 7, the days of the week, right? On the 7th day, God took a rest. The 7th day is a special day. And there are all kinds of other things as I hear her playing her harmonica. 7 notes in the scale comes to mind. And 7 is just a really interesting turning point I've found for most of my kids. I think that can be observed if you have enough children to do so, or even if you don't. But I know also that in the Waldorf tradition, which honestly I could do without in a lot of ways, but is probably as close to anything I would ever use if I were to send my kids to school, they do honor and celebrate the 7th year when a child turns 7, because there's so much change. And if I'm understanding it correctly, it's really an initiation in a sense. It's when the child seems to become aware fully that they are separate. They are not part of their mom anymore. And of course, there are physical changes that start to happen that remind us they are leaving babyhood. And one of those I always remember from my older kids is losing those little dimples on their fingers. You know how little kids, little 3, 4, 5 year olds, right, have those little dimples because their fingers are still so chubby. And, you know, it's like the bone isn't quite bone yet. It's still soft. And while Deva has lots of growing to do, it came to mind today that she's definitely turning into a big kid. And definitely we've seen that in the last year. She's lost, let's see, probably 4 or 5 teeth. And they kind of happened all at once. So that's another obvious sign of transitioning to entering that prepubescent phase. Lots on the horizon for a 7-year-old. It really is so special. And it was, really beautiful to celebrate her. And I don't know that I've shared too much about her birth story with her today. I usually do. Sometimes we watch the video. And I do make sure that I always tell whoever's birthday it is that I am so glad they came. So I told Deva this today. I am so glad you came to our family. I am so glad you came to me. Thank you for coming. I love you. And of course, I fully, fully mean it. If you're somewhat new to the indie birth world, Deva was born almost exactly a year after Sable, who was our miscarriage baby. And I really loved that Deva chose to be born March 31st. Her actual due date was April 8th. So she chose the very last day of March to be born, which I always felt was an homage, so to speak, to what would have been her older brother, Sable Sage. So we named her Deva Catherine Sage, Sage for her brother. And I love that they were both born. And that's kind of in italics because Sable wasn't alive, but he did choose to come out in March. And he came out on March 6th. And then a full year and a couple weeks later, Deva graced us with her beautiful, healthy face. And I can still really feel that. And in some ways, I think it's more poignant just because time has gone on. When I was pregnant with her, of course, I was so thrilled to be pregnant after a loss, especially. But it was also hard. It also had its challenges. I don't know that I had the same kind of innocence, of course, in her pregnancy. And so some of the feelings, I think, again, now can almost be more because I'm fully feeling them. So I can feel all of that. I can feel the somberness in a sense. And that's something that really struck me after Deva was born, and I didn't expect it. So I had this beautiful birth. In fact, her birth is definitely one of my favorites. I'll have to remember to link it here if you have not seen it. It really was just fantastic in every way. I had this beautiful birth. It really was exactly what I had always pictured and wanted. This gorgeous, healthy baby. And the postpartum had some rough moments. I realized as I was going through it, and I can see more clearly now, that it makes sense. I think when you have lost a baby at whatever point, you feel that at various points in time. And there really was a celebratory atmosphere, of course, to her postpartum time. But again, this grief that crept in here and there, it was so strange. I remember having these thoughts and just thinking I was kind of crazy because here I am again holding this beautiful baby and just having crazy feelings. Not towards her. Like, I loved her. I love her so much. Just sort of like, how does the world work? Like, how, you know, like I could have been sitting here, you know, a year before holding him, but that's not what was chosen. That's not what he chose. And here she was, this beautiful shining goddess, which is what Deva means, the shining one or goddess, that came to our family when we really, really needed her. We really, really wanted her. And of course they were all wanted, but there's something just extra, not more special, just what's the word? I'm sure you know what I mean. I guess poignant comes to mind. It's just something I'll always remember in feeling. So when she was born, it really was just amazing. And again, in hindsight now, it's even more amazing because I don't think in those moments I allowed myself to fully feel in a way. So as much as I can fully feel 7 years later, just remembering how glorious it was. My body really just pushed her out. And that's one of the coolest things about her birth video, I think. The labor was gorgeous. I mean, it was all just so textbook and perfect. She was born amongst candlelight at about 1:30 in the morning, and my body just pushed her out. And I had not experienced that. She's my eighth baby, and I had not experienced that. So she really taught me. She taught me so much about so many things and continues to teach. She really is an old soul in her body. And I think her name even is not an accident. I knew that was what she wanted to be named. And, you know, we joke in our family that she's probably an old Indian woman soul inside that body, because her name is Sanskrit and just funny stuff. Like, she really does love Indian food. And Amelia, funny enough, had come home from a photo shoot or something a few months ago where I think she was photographing like an Indian family, you know, from India. That's what I mean. And she came home and she said, "Mom, these little girls were so gorgeous." She said, "And they look just like Deva. Only Deva has white hair." She said their coloring, you know, was different, but Deva looks like a little Indian girl. So it's kind of our funny little joke that, you know, Deva did incarnate somewhere in the world, maybe like that. But either way, she is a joy. She really is a joyful, funny, quirky, strange, loving child. She really, truly is. I'm not making it up. I'm not saying it because I'm on my own podcast. This morning, she let her little siblings open her gifts and shared all of her toys with them, which is so unusual. You know, I think in most families, not because anybody's doing anything wrong, but generally, most families are smaller than ours. And I remember being a lot more selfish, just having my sister and I growing up. I think that's considered normal, right? If you have two or three kids, they fight over everything. They don't want to share. And we certainly have our moments. Don't get me wrong. But Deva is incredibly generous. And I think that's maybe what an eighth child has to learn to be in some ways. She learns how to be the big girl, you know, be the big sister to her two younger siblings. And she also gets to be the little girl in a lot of ways. So it must be a cool place to be, I think. I'll never know in this life. I'm not an eighth child. But Deva is really rocking it. And so celebrating her today. And again, I'll put her birth video below. It's really a great one. And so feel free to share it. Oof, well, so far so good. Other updates, let's see. Sam, our beautiful assistant and friend, made us a calendar link for IndieBirth. So that's a great resource at the moment to check out if you are wondering what we're up to, or maybe you've heard about this event or that event. And we have trouble keeping track, to be honest, of all of the stuff we have going on. So indiebirth.org/calendar. Sam has put all of the upcoming events there for you and for us to make it a little bit easier. So we have all kinds of fun stuff coming up. We do have a sacred initiation, kind of like a ceremony for birth workers. That is a new offering. That is free, so you might want to check out that link and sign yourself up. And we'll see. We've never done anything quite like this, although I'm pretty used to leading circles and ceremony online. But this one will be, again, for birth workers, for anyone. So celebrating you as a birth worker, because we feel that that is not done enough, that we work really hard for the women we serve, and we don't often honor ourselves. So it's not even about, you know, needing to be honored by anyone else, but just honoring ourselves. And that could be for any reason. That could be for birth workers that are brand new, or maybe birth workers that are done or retiring. And it doesn't even need to be as big of a deal. Maybe you're honoring yourself because you do this work. You know, you're the one that's answering your phone at 2 a.m. and all of the reasons why we should honor ourselves. So we're going to try that out as a virtual offering, and that is coming up in the next week or so. Other offerings you can see on the page, and I've talked about here and there, I have a wisdom teaching circle about ancestral wisdom at the end of the month of April. And I'm really looking forward to that, mostly because when I plan these classes, I open up the invitation to myself and to the universe, really, to teach me some stuff. That's really how it goes for me. So I don't necessarily have it all worked out, you know, what I'm going to say or anything like that. When I set a topic, especially the more spiritual ones in nature, I really wait for the universe to show me what is needed. And that might be a ceremony, that might be exercises, that might be just insider stories. I don't know. I don't know what will come through for me, but I'm already in it. I feel like I've been in it for the last, you know, well, years, really. All kinds of experiences, but more specifically, this idea of ancestry in our bodies and the way our lineage lives on in us is of particular interest to me right now. So you're welcome to join that and come to that. And the last offering I'll mention for right now is the Beyond the Mind. And that's going to be a somatic circle, a 4-week journey for birth workers again. And again, that's really open to any birth worker that feels like they need to come back to themselves and their bodies, which, if you ask me, I don't know how anyone doesn't want that. But you know, people are at different places. Maybe someone just doesn't have the time for that right now. Although, again, I guess I'm biased. I think we need to make more time for truly listening and feeling in ourselves as we do this work. So that will be a really fun place to dabble in some somatic exercises with me, support of this circle, and yeah, explore the kind of deep and dark topics that come up for birth workers that we're not so quick to post about. Or maybe we are. I think some of the things that came up last time weren't that surprising. I think there's definitely fear around being called to this work. And that's really general, of course. Everybody has different feelings and even reasons for the same feeling. Something like persecution and self-worth, really. All the reasons why you can't do it or you shouldn't do it. And we've heard these things for years. So I feel really good about having an offering that allows you, if that's you, to figure out what you need and to listen to yourself in that, because I don't have the answers for anyone else. And if I pretended to, well, I might make a lot more money, honestly, if I pretended I had like some kind of formula for being a really successful birth worker. But I think the formula is within. So the best thing I can suggest, and where I feel I have the most integrity, again, is to lead a circle where you do that work. And that's not the most popular idea. I think it is for special women, because doing the work just sounds intimidating sometimes. I think it sounds fun. That's me. But I think for some, they really would just rather be told. They would rather be told, hey, this is the school, this is the licensing path, this is how you do it. And that's fine. I mean, I certainly, years ago, did that. So I've learned from my own experience. And I don't wish any different for my path. And I hope nobody does, in a sense, because we're all where we should be. We're all where we should be. Although I can't help but speculate, if I had had such an opportunity, you know, 20 years ago to be guided in really feeling what was true for me, I wouldn't have done all that way. I wouldn't have. I wouldn't have gotten licensed. But, you know, then I wouldn't be sitting here in the same way. So again, every path really is perfect in the way that we are walking it. But if you see something or hear something or feel something that kind of sparks your interest, I think those are the moments to pay attention. So if that's you, I'd love to see you in the Beyond the Mind. And that link is there as well, under the indiebirth.org/calendar. All right. Well, I didn't have a grand plan, honestly, for this podcast today because of all the things I've shared already. I also have some guests coming on the podcast, and I will be recording with them this week. So you can look forward to a change of pace in the next couple of weeks. I did want to share just briefly, because this came up yesterday for me, and this really is the place where I share all kinds of things, is this idea of celebrating ourselves as women and celebrating and honoring our wombs. That all sounds really just normal to me. However, I really have realized in the last, well, it's probably only been the last couple of months, because I did have an early miscarriage in December, which I shared about on a podcast. So it's been a couple of months. And, you know, it's a really interesting thing to experience. And not for the reasons sometimes that people think, although those reasons are valid too. So, you know, maybe it's really hard on your body, or you lose a lot of blood and you have to recover, or, you know, maybe it is super emotional for some people, and like they really just are still really struggling and feeling sad. And it wasn't really either of those things for me. But I knew, and maybe you listen to that podcast, because I said, like, it really wasn't, it was fine. It wasn't hard. But I knew in the back of my mind, even when I was recording that, that I would have more work to do. But I was also happy to just be transparent and share where I was. And, you know, who knows? Whoever knows where our healing is going to go. And I don't even necessarily think that this is the last stop. I think healing definitely isn't linear. And sometimes when we least expect it is when our bodies show us that there's more to do or there's further to go. So that's why I'm sharing this. Yesterday, I was feeling the need to just get some time alone. And my family is really supportive of that. And they're well taken care of. There's a million other things to do around here. So I snuck away for a little bit, and I had no plan. So I think if you're listening to this and you're interested in doing your own ceremony, your own ritual, just remember that it's not like it has to look like it does on Instagram or whatever, YouTube or a movie or even in a book. Like, I have this really beautiful Italian folk magic book here on my desk that is really great, and I love it. But I think it's important for me to remember too that ceremony and ritual do not need to be fancy. They do not need to be planned. And for me, that's really key. I certainly have planned rituals, and sometimes that's the way it should be. It feels really right. Maybe there's a certain manifestation you are working on. But yesterday, I had no intention. I had no intention of ritual or ceremony at all. I simply wanted some time alone. So what did I do? I decided to take a really hot bath. I think I've talked about that on some older podcasts, that that's a really great way to have an experience, so to speak, just as, well, not just as, but similar to the reasons that somebody would go into a sweat lodge, do that kind of ceremony. Making the body uncomfortable is a way to access some of the deeper stuff. And as I've gotten into somatic experiencing and somatics in general, there is debate over this. And actually, I see both sides. The somatic experiencing side, and I don't want to speak for them as an organization, I'm just kind of like generalizing in that world of somatic therapies. Catharsis is considered not undesirable from a place of judgment, but from a body perspective, that catharsis, and by catharsis, we mean an intense bodily experience. So that could be a hot bath for some. That could be a breathwork class for others. That could be psychedelics. You know, there's all kinds of ways that the modern day person can experience something intense. Whereas in the old days, and even now in certain places and cultures, my understanding is that there was more ritual and ceremony, right? So the sweat lodge, for example. Yeah, that's a great example. Where there's more to that than just the catharsis, right? You are supported and there's the elders and, right? There's all kinds of experiences one can have, but it's not in the safety of their own bedroom. And that's part of the objective. So catharsis, I think, in this modern day context, does make me question some of the motives. And, you know, at the end of the day, you can only question your own motives and your own reasons for doing stuff. But I see in the collective how maybe it's not beneficial, you know, for some. And again, this isn't individual, like I can't speak for individuals. But as like a collective culture, are we really healing, in quotes, right? Are we really shifting? Like, are we really elevating our consciousness with some of these techniques of catharsis? And I don't have the answer. I think there are people that are going to say, yes, we are. Look at all these, you know, people doing psychedelics. I don't know. I'm going to say, I don't know, even for myself, because I did, you know, a full year of, and not that that's a long time, just saying, I did a full year of intense breath work. And initially, I really liked it. I think I even have a podcast somewhere, maybe, about it. And then as I went on in the year, I realized it wasn't really healing for me. It was catharsis. It was like bringing shit up, and it kind of makes you feel like you accomplished something in some ways. But if you don't have the tools, and now I'm learning, I think for me, those are more somatic tools, feeling in the body. If you don't have the somatic tools to integrate, then it's like you're just uprooting, you know, like imagine a garden. It's like you're just going through with like a backhoe and like pulling up all the plants, and it's destruction. And on one hand, it's like, okay, well, now it's clear, maybe. But on the other hand, it's like, oh shit, that's a lot to clean up. So to me, that is what some of these modalities do, which is why people have to go back again and again and again, because, again, my experience, my opinion for myself is that I wasn't really making any headway. They were just like causing this intense physical reaction. So why did I do a hot bath then, if that's how I feel? I think for me, a hot bath is something I can regulate, obviously a whole lot better than a breathwork class. I mean, unless I wanted to quit the breathwork class and get up in the middle, I'm there for the hour and I did it, you know, I have done it. With a hot bath, there is the obvious advantage of being in your own home and just doing what you feel. So for me, when I do it and when I did it yesterday, it didn't feel wildly cathartic. It didn't feel like a crazy upheaval. It felt like it brought up intense emotions. It brought up activation in the parts of my body that I know really well have those things going on. And so it was just like a quicker way. It was a quicker way to feel my body. But again, that's me. And I don't necessarily feel that way in other modalities. I think when you're sort of forced to be in them, or I don't know, I've never done psychedelics, but my guess is if you're like in it, like once you take it, you're kind of in it, you're not going to get out of it, that you're going to go through probably for some that intense cathartic experience, which again, doesn't necessarily promote healing. Unless you think it does, and unless you've had the experience where it does. But again, I can see where the somatic world has come in with some helpful insight. I feel like that was really helpful for me to hear that. And again, to see my own experience, like in breathwork, as for me, less than ideal for those reasons. It was like somebody had an answer, because for the last year, I kept going back. I was like, it must be me. It must be me. There must be something about me. Or, oh my God, I really have more healing to do than I thought. Like, this is, you know, I'm a hard nut to crack. This breath work isn't really like getting through. But yeah, learning somatics and hearing that perspective was really helpful, because it allowed me to trust myself. It allowed me to realize, oh, I was right. I was right all along for me. That really isn't good for me. That really didn't feel good. That really didn't do much of anything except kind of create drama for the hour that I did it. So again, for me, it has proven to be, a technique. And there are others out there, I'm sure, that I would feel the same way about. Anyway, that's a really long way of saying I took a hot bath. And I didn't plan any of it. I just got to feel things quicker in my body, as I mentioned. And so when you take the hot bath, you know, I was taught anyway that you stay in for as long as you can, which for me really isn't that long. It's like 15 minutes before I feel like I'm going to die. And wrap yourself in all the towels, and I put on a big sweatshirt and kind of make a self-made sweat lodge where you come out and, you know, you just lay there on your bed. And it's really quite pleasant in a sense, because you're comfortable, and just sweat it out. And in doing that, I was connected with my womb space in a way that has felt more difficult. That's kind of the take home point that I was trying to get to with all that blabbing. I feel like having had that miscarriage, even though it wasn't physically hard and it didn't upset me, you know, beyond belief, I realized that I have been not feeling a whole lot in that space. That's not surprising. That's not surprising with what I've been learning and with my experience. I think this lack of feeling, or whatever we want to call it, maybe it's numbness, really does arise to protect us. And without creating a huge story around it, I can see how that would be true. I had this loss, and maybe it's because it wasn't really physically hard. Maybe it's because it didn't feel super upsetting that I wasn't paying attention in the ways I needed to be. Perhaps I wasn't paying attention to a deeper level of sadness, or maybe a way my body was healing on a level that I couldn't see. And in doing this bath and doing this sweat, I was able to connect my breath to the womb space. And you can try it right now. I mean, just without any kind of preparation, bringing your breath, well, first noticing where you're breathing. I'm sitting on this awful chair, so I don't feel a very deep breath when I sit here. But for me, it's about sort of finding the breath in my chest, maybe first. This is how it went. Finding the breath in my chest, and I felt all kinds of sensation, all kinds of like burning and pulling and all kinds of activation. moving into my solar plexus, which is your belly, and feeling all kinds of stuff there. And consciously took the opportunity, again, because I was able to activate the feeling so much more quickly, to bring that energy into my womb. So you can try it just with your own breath. It may be easy, it may be hard. I know for me, sometimes it feels unequal, and I don't think that's a problem necessarily. So for me, I can just feel into my chest better. That's kind of where I feel a lot of stuff for many reasons. But for me, drawing breath all the way into my womb or my pelvic floor, I can do it. I can experience that. But what does it really feel like? I think I've been ignoring that question for the last couple of months. So I can bring breath there and I've been like, oh, it's clear. Oh, I don't feel much. And so with this exercise in the bath, my body was showing me very desperately, trying to show me, no. Now that you're feeling, now that you're really feeling, you know, what is there? And again, just to share briefly, I won't go into the whole ceremony because really it's quite personal and I don't think it's going to mean anything to anyone else. But checking out my womb in this kind of like altered state almost and realizing, yeah, like there is some numbness there. There is a desire to suppress. There is a desire to not quite feel what's going on there. And so I've been learning, of course, and really you can't make yourself feel. And that's something, again, with more of these cathartic modalities, you don't ask your body. Like if you're going to do psychedelics, if you're going to do breath work, you're going to feel it. Like you're not really treating your body like, hello there. You know, would you like to do this? Would you like to feel? So in this case, I was able to ask that question, you know, do I want to feel? Does my uterus want to show me? Rather than show me, like, what's under there? I need to know, although that's tempting. So I'm still uncovering what's there, and I think the numbness and lack of feeling was really insightful. So without rushing my body, just visually imagining this breath kind of as fire, because it was so hot anyways, using this fire to cleanse the womb space. And I can see it in my mind's eye even now. The womb is like really complex. So we imagine our wombs maybe as this tiny space, but actually when it's in my mind's eye, my womb is so big. Like it's such a cavernous kind of space. I don't know if anyone else out there feels that way, but it's spacious. There are all kinds of like nooks and crannies and corners and dark spaces and light spaces. And so it was a great reminder to do a really simple womb cleansing. And you can do that with fire. You can do that with the element of water. You could do it with any of the elements. But I use fire. And again, it was literally turning every corner and burning and burning and burning. And it was like, you're not burning your uterus, of course. It's a visual of burning. To me, felt like, what did I write down? I'm trying to remember now. It's like kind of hazy. But just something dense, you know, some kind of dense energy, kind of like buildup. That's what I mean. It was almost like hard water, you know, when hard water, you get that like buildup. Your dishwasher or, you know, whatever it is. That's what it was. It was like a hard water buildup. So even sitting with that, you know, even now, it's like, huh, interesting. Hard water. Well, water's emotion. Stuck emotion. Yes, that makes sense. And just cleaning it out, feeling what's there and feeling my own womb come back to life. It was really, really quite special. Really, really quite special. And some very profound messages came through kind of my entire body about my soul's path, like really amazing stuff that was put really simply. So I think, you know, having these moments of ritual, sometimes we do need a little jump start. Again, I hadn't planned it. But maybe your jump start is pulling a card, right? Maybe your jump start is just like closing your door and lighting a candle. In my case, it was taking a bath, but I had no really intention. I really didn't have an intention. I just knew I needed time for myself. And I think the more I've been listening to my body, the more these things will start to happen. I don't need to know. I just know that my body needs some time. And with 9 kids in the house, I'm not going to get these messages. Most likely, I haven't yet, just standing around the kitchen or, you know, in my normal life. I really do need to take time. And for me, that is ritual. That is ceremony. It's not that anyone else needs to be involved. It's literally the simplest thing, because when we can feel, and, you know, if we believe we're connected to source, we believe we're connected to our soul or God or whatever, then there is trust and remembrance there, for me at least, that whatever needs to come through will happen. And I think not having an intention sometimes is the best way to go. I've seen, even in myself, you know, get wrapped up in intention or magic or let's do this or let's do that. And it didn't feel as real, you know, it didn't feel as like massive a shift in my cells as a spontaneous observation, the spontaneous desire to have time alone, and then just following my body, just following it. You know, how long did I want to stay in the water? And when I got out, what was my body calling me to do? How did I feel called to breathe? You know, and it wasn't about what felt good. I really don't think it felt amazing. But it was a willingness to be with the constriction, knowing that there was good stuff underneath. And that's definitely something I've been learning so much about, you know, if we're willing to be with the feeling, and sometimes it's bad or shitty or yucky, then usually it's like buried treasure. And it might not be that day, it might not be that month, but there is good stuff under there. Thanks for listening. Thanks for witnessing me in my impromptu womb ceremony. I'm not sure. I'll share more on other podcasts, just depending on what comes up. But again, mentioning that I think sometimes we don't even get all the pieces in whatever kind of ritual or ceremony or whatever we're doing. I think that is also the name of the game. Again, in more of these like prefabricated possibly situations, right? We might think we have all the pieces, or, you know, maybe someone's leading us in this visualization and the goal is to do this thing. And again, I'm not like saying that shouldn't be a part of someone's healing. I've been there. I've done that. But for me, it's really been really magnificent, honestly, and magical to just lead myself through my own ceremony and be open to whatever that means or doesn't mean. In this case, it doesn't necessarily feel like everything got wrapped up neatly in a bow. It doesn't. It feels like I got some really cool insight into what my body wanted from me. I got some really awesome messages. And now I am being asked to embody them in my life. And that's the work, I think. It's not always that crazy or complicated to receive messages when we're connected, but they can also seem kind of far-fetched or something like that, right? Like kind of idealistic, or they seem a little crazy sometimes after the ceremony is done and over. But the real ritual, the real practice is, if you're trusting of those messages, to bring them into your actual life, into your actual body. That's where I've landed with the messages that came through that feel really both profound and simple at the same time. It's to hold that like cellular memory of the magnificence of my body. That was definitely one that came through. And I had this like somber, but I thought beautiful message, and I'll just share this one, that I'm here for a limited time in this body, as you are. You're here for a limited time in your body. And I felt like such compassion for my body. Like, look at this amazing vehicle I'm in, you're in. Look at it. Like, even in moments where maybe it's not pleasing you or this or that, like, just hold up your hands or put your hand on your womb. It is amazing. You are here. You are living. You are breathing. Like, this body is only going to last so long. When this message came through, it definitely felt important. And as I say it now, it definitely has that like somber kind of feeling. But in the moment, honestly, it just felt like practical advice. It felt like the most practical good advice I could receive. And I think I really needed that. So whether it's a miscarriage or, you know, whether, I don't know, there's a million ways that our bodies can feel like they're not quite doing what we want or living up to what we want. Finding this compassion and humility for this amazing vessel we're in, which again, really is time sensitive. We are not here forever in this body. So it's like, treat it well, you know, treat it well and love it as if it's a pet. Imagine how you would treat it if you really, really felt this love more of the time. All right, folks. Well, that was longer than I thought, and it is getting dark here, and it is surprisingly quiet. So I believe wholeheartedly I was supposed to share my impromptu womb ceremony with you. Not so that you feel you should imitate it, but maybe you will be inspired to take time for you and lean into the feelings and wisdom of your own body. That might bring ceremony, that might bring a walk in the woods, that might bring a piece of chocolate cake. I have no idea. But whatever it brings, I wish you the best and most beautiful journey. Have a great week, everybody. I'll talk to you soon.